This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. On Monday, we'll broadcast from T.C. Williams High School in Alexandria, Virginia. May 17th is the 50th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision Brown versus Board of Education. Email us your personal stories of school integration from its earliest days to the present. Our address is TOTN at NPR.org. Again, that is TOTN at NPR.org. Next week, Hollywood heads to New York City. Six networks and two Spanish-language networks will preview and then try to sell their new shows for the fall season, all to entice advertisers to buy airtime. Well, last year's show that were sworn to be big hits included CBS's now popular crime drama, Cold Case.
These cases, the timing adds up. Jill Shelby, beaten at a neighbor's house, found the next morning case was never solved.
Are you saying we should open a 27-year-old case, Lil?
There's new direction.
But promised successes are almost always doomed to fail. Remember last year's sitcom that was going to be a absolute smash hit, NBC's Coupling.
To tell you the truth, I think you're kind of a jerk.
Then how come you're always checking out my ass when we're talking?
I'm lip reading.
Join the conversation. What TV trends do you have questions about? Call us at 800-989-8255 or join the email challenge. It's your turn to be a programmer. What shows do you think the networks should create and air for your viewing pleasure? Or what wonderfully horrible show do you think that they're actually cooking up in those back rooms there in Hollywood? Our email address is TOTN at NPR.org. Joining us now from our bureau in New York is Brad Adgate. He's Senior Vice President and Director of Research with Horizon Media. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Neil.
Tell us more about Upfront Week. What's this process like?
Well, as you said, it's where Hollywood comes to New York. Each day next week, one or two or three networks are going to venues across Manhattan, such as the theater at Madison Square Garden or Radio City, and so on and so forth. And what they do is they present their fall lineup. They unveil the fall lineup. They talk about what a great success they've had this season. Mm-hmm. They're all number ones in something.
This includes ABC?
This includes ABC. They'll find something, whether it's growth or whatnot. ABC, of course, is in a state of flux right now, from management all the way down.
You work in the television industry. State of flux. What a nice word.
Well, more so at ABC. Turmoil might be another word to describe lately, but certainly flux would be a kinder way of saying it. And when they bring out the stars and they bring out their rationale and then they take you out to dinner and wine and dine you and then in the course of a few days, such as last year or weeks or months, billions and billions of dollars, not to sound like Carl Sagan, but billions and billions of dollars trade hands.
So these are for advertisers?
Yes.
And
yes,
advertising agencies?
Uh-huh. And media services companies and so on and so forth.
I wonder, after 9/11, there was a big cutback in advertising budgets. What are TV ad sales like now?
They've been very bullish. Last year, they were up 15% versus the year before. $9.3 billion traded hands in 3 days. I mean, it was done before Memorial Day, which was really unheard of because other media, such as magazines, really haven't been doing as well. But television, particularly network television, is very bullish right now. And right now, there's always a stance about how strong it's going to be. The automotive industry, some car makers are saying, you know, we're going to take our dollars out of network TV and put it into the internet or cable or out of home as a way to just kind of stop these huge demands that the network seem to be able to get in terms of a percent double-digit increases.
Well, the biggest huge demand that the networks extorted from their advertisers was, of course, all the spots on Friends the other night, and I guess Frasier tonight, the same thing. But at the same time, that creates a bit of a problem for NBC, doesn't it? Because those shows aren't going to be with them next year.
That's true. But, you know, there is The Apprentice, which has really solved a hole that they had on Thursday nights. It's going to be back for two arcs next year, 32 shows. So really on Thursday nights was last year they were filling in 2 half hours. Now they just have 1 half hour. And NBC has dominated Thursday nights for 20 years since The Cosby Show debuted. And it's an important night because if you notice, if you watch TV tonight, if you watch Frasier tonight, you'll see a lot of movie ads. And a lot of people plan their weekends, start thinking about it on Thursday, and it's been a very important night for NBC.
CBS made a bit of a comeback last year. Two and a Half Men, we mentioned Cold Case, was a hit for them. Are they going to build on that, and how are they going to do it?
Well, CBS really is in the driver's seat in terms of total viewers and household ratings, but they kind of lag behind in key demographic groups such as adults 18 to 49, where NBC is tops. So CBS will probably, they're bringing CSI New York, which is a spinoff from the CSI franchise.
It'll start third Gary one of Sinise. Those, yeah.
Yes, the third one of those. And really, you know, there might be some shows like The District that is kind of been talked to being on the bubble, or The Guardian and shows like that. But most of their shows are relatively new. I think Everybody Loves Raymond will probably be in its last season next year. But Two and a Half Men has been the highest rated new show this year. And part of it has to do, it's because it's between two top 10 shows on Monday night. Mm. So it's the real estate that they're occupying.
And ABC, what's their motto? Nowhere to go but up.
Well, that's true. They're in fourth place. They only have two dramas that are coming back next year. One is Alias, which, while it's critically acclaimed, is in a very tough time period. It's always opposite HBO's top shows. And it's the last season of NYPD Blue. So that show will be in will have a big finale, I guess, next year with Sipowicz. And The Practice is gone, but there'll be a spinoff with James Spader and William Shatner and possibly Rebecca De Mornay, and they'll handle more civil cases and things of that sort, so there'll be a spinoff of that. They do have 10 sitcoms, more than CBS or NBC, and they've kind of brought back their TGIF franchise, which I think they ill-advisedly left on a few years ago, trying to do more sophisticated urban-type sitcoms like NBC does, and that really didn't pan out for them.
Of the big four, Fox, they really seem to be on a different schedule. I mean, they don't pay all that much attention to this fall stuff, do they?
No, they don't. The problem with Fox is baseball in October just throws a wrench into their audience flow. You know, typically the postseason ends, and then you're coming into the November sweeps, which is when all the markets get measured and the networks put out their big shows. And Fox has no continuity because they're just airing baseball throughout October. So last year they noticed that they premiered a show called The OC on August 5th. They were going to put it on Thursday nights, which is a really tough night for Fox because of the strength of NBC and CBS. So when they saw that there was an audience there, they moved it to Wednesday night. And this year they are going to come out with at least three or four shows this summer, like The Jury or The Quintuplets, they're going to bring back The Simple Life with Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, and they're going to start airing programs in the summer and make it a 52-week season. And, you know, the challenge that is, I don't know how viewers are accustomed to watching these shows in the summer. A lot of people just shut down and turn the set off, and the weather's nicer and the days are longer. And typically the new season, at least for 40 years, starts in September.
We have an email challenge going of what you would like the networks to show next year, or what you're afraid they might. Here's a couple of responses from Diana Chica in Jacksonville, Florida. I wish they'd eliminate all reality shows and add more real reality shows like A&E's Forensic Files, etc. P.S. Cold Case is good, she writes. And this from Yvonne Gibbs. I would really like to see a reality show where the contestants are asked to live on minimum wage, but considering the focus the networks put on glamour and unreality, I doubt that would happen.
I think that's true. Reality is a very important part of the television landscape right now. All the major networks have at least one or two coming back. NBC is going to have, similar to last summer, a lot of reality shows on. And there's a lot of upside to it. You know, they're relatively inexpensive to produce. They bring in a very desirable audience. If you look at the shows that have the youngest audience profile on CBS, it's Survivor. On ABC, it's Celebrity Mole and Bachelor. On NBC, it's Average Joe and Fear Factor. These are the audience that the advertisers covet, and it's great for product placement, and sometimes it's a TiVo buster, which is a concern for advertisers somewhere down the road, because if you missed American Idol last night, it was all over the map that LaToya London got eliminated today, So what's the point in watching it? So you have to watch it live, which makes the chance of you skipping the commercials less likely.
And so there's going to be even more reality next year. No way around that.
I think so, at least for the foreseeable future. I mean, they'll put a sprinkling onto it. Last year, they all shied away from doing it. And when a lot of these new shows really didn't resonate with viewers by midseason, they put a lot of that back on. There's a show called The Benefactor with Mark Cuban, where he gives money to people for doing certain projects. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a show called The Contender, which is a boxing elimination show that's going to be that NBC paid $2 million an episode episode four.
A couple of rivals also, for that particular
yes,
show.
Yes, Fox is also having a boxing show, so we'll see how they duke it out.
Here's an email from Mike. The time of dogs as main characters has run out. It's time to bring back the chimps. How about that? we're talking with Brad Adgate. He's Senior Vice President and a Director of Research with Horizon Media. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get a listener on the line. Josh is with us from Berkeley, California.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air, Josh.
Hi. I have a question. Can you help me understand how the networks would pour a lot of money into something and even have it get good critical acclaim and then just slaughter it through moving it around, showing it out of order, putting it in a bad slot? I personally was a big fan of the show Firefly, and you know, I've had other experiences like that, and just wondered if you could talk to that.
Sure. I think it's one word, Nielsen. I mean, there are very few industries where a $1 million decision you get graded the next day from the American viewing public. And, you know, the next day these network executives find out what Firefly did, how well it did versus the competition, how well it did versus the program that was before it and after it. And it's usually a big jigsaw puzzle. And typically that's what happens. No matter how critically acclaimed the show is, they'll move it around hoping to find a better audience, or they'll cancel it. Now, some networks, I remember 20 years ago, NBC was about to pull Hill Street Blues, and then it got about 20 or so Emmy nominations, and they kept the show on, and then the rest is history. So it also really depends on where the network is ranked among viewers. Like ABC might be a little more patient with the show than, say, a CBS.
Okay, but there doesn't seem to be, is there competition among the executives, for example, to, you know, somebody might try to kill somebody else's show? I mean, maybe that's paranoid, but...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, last year, you know, NBC introduced a show and CBS countered with putting two original episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond against it. You'll see Friends would be 40 minutes or 45 minutes supersized Friends, so that at 8:30 you won't go over to Survivor to watch it, and things of that sort. They are doing that all the time.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks for the call, Josh.
Yep.
Here's some more emails. Thank goodness for Joan of Arcadia, writes Mindy in Morning, Kenai, Alaska. Or maybe Mindy Morning in Kenai, Alaska. Anyway, thanks goodness for Joan of Arcadia. I hope it stays on, and I'd like to see more thoughtful dramas like this. Another big success from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was actually introduced last year, and that will be back next year, Joan of Arcadia. It's very hard for the networks on Friday night to put on an audience, particularly if you're Fox or the WB or UPN, where you have a younger median age, and they're going out to the movies, or it's a blockbuster night or renting movies. Your best bet is to put on a show that skews older, which CBS has really a monopoly on, or putting on a show that skews to young families and their children, like a TGIF. But if you're going after an 18 to 34 audience, it's very hard on Friday nights to find something. And so you'll see a lot of these old-type dramas or news magazines or family-type sitcoms.
Mm-hmm. Let's get another caller in. Cherie joins us from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
One thing that I hope I do not see next season, I'm really tired of all reality shows, except for The Apprentice, but they had this one show on called The Littlest Bachelor that was just awful because it had little people, and not only that, but they had the little bachelor, and then they had the other little people women, but they also had normal-sized people, women come in, and then the small-sized people women had to compete against the... It was just bad, and I was like, I cannot believe people are watching this. I can't believe they put that on TV.
But you were watching it.
Not for long. As soon as I saw what it was about, I was just like, oh, my gosh, I stayed there long enough to tell my sister about it, and I turned.
Well,
it did get me to watch it, yes.
Let me put it this way, Brad. Are there depths to which they will not go?
Well, you know, the FCC is kind of like clamping down based on the Super Bowl. I mean, there was a show about the UPN was going to put on about the Amish that got a lot of people up in arms, and I don't think that that's just quietly a reality show, and I think that that has quietly disappeared. So, you know, I think there are guidelines and whatnot, and you know, reality shows are like entertainment shows. Some really work and some don't, and those that don't, aren't back.
Cherie, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And we'll end with this email we got from Harriet Horwitz in Minneapolis. The Whistleblowers, she suggests. It has all the drama, angst, crime, and triumph of any other reality show. Colleen Rowley of the FBI, the Exxon lady, etc. Plus, it will show us the true heroes of America. Brad Adgate, any hope for the Whistleblowers?
You never know. I mean, there might be someone in program development listening, and they're writing it down. There's always cable.
Brad Adgate, thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much, Neil.
And have a good time next week.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Brad Adgate is Senior Vice President and Director of Research with Horizon Media. Tomorrow, Ira will be here with Science Friday. We'll be back Monday. See you then. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.